Good evening. Chorus Call operator speaking. Welcome to the presentation of year results for the 2017 fiscal year for the Brunello Cucinelli Group. I'd like to remind you that all participants are in listen-only mode. Following the initial presentation, there will be an opportunity for some Q&A from the financial market. The speakers will be Brunello Cucinelli, President and CEO of the company, Moreno Ciarapica, CFO, and Pietro Arnaboldi, Head of Investor Relations. In order to receive help from an operator during the conference call, press star followed by zero. Now, I would like to give the floor to Mr. Brunello Cucinelli. The floor is yours. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'll try and not speak too fast so that the English listeners will have an appropriate path for the translation. Well, first of all, I would like to thank you all, first and foremost, investors, analysts, journalists, and we really want to thank you warmly from the deep of our hearts for everything that you have given us in the last 6 years when we have been a listed company, and also 40 years of us as a business, as a company, because we celebrated our 40th anniversary just a few days ago. In my opinion, we have enjoyed an experience of life and work marked and fraught with humanity, esteem, respect, and the way that we have to speak to each other, to interact with each other, has always brought us to make important decisions whilst respecting the creation along the process, and also respecting the great values of the human being, because our life has always been human-centric. And I say that the great values are always the same: justice, truth, beauty, and love. Last night, I was playing with my granddaughters, Ricardo's and Camilla's daughters, and I always have so much fun with them. They amuse me. And then suddenly, I was hit by this beautiful piece of news. The two Koreas are meeting to make peace. So I basically rediscovered a letter that I had read some time ago of a Russian thinker of the beginning of the 20th century, who at a certain point sent this letter to his children. And I'd like to read out a couple of paragraphs for you. And I was really touched by these words. He said, "Look at the stars more often. When you feel sorrow in your soul, look at the stars or at the blue sky. When you feel sad, when someone offends you, when you struggle to accomplish something, or when you are overwhelmed by your inner storm, get out and stare at the sky. That's when your soul will find peace." Pavel Florensky. And I have to say, it is a really beautiful expression and statement. So thank you for your attention. And I'd like to do the following. I will give you just the highlights of the company, then Brunello Ciarapica, who is sitting just opposite me, will drill down to a few more colors and details. Then I'll resume the floor and I'll give you some visibility on 2018, some visibility on 2019 and 20 planning. Then we'll be talking about products and markets. And last but not least, the fascinating world of the online business. So net revenues, €503.6 million, plus 10.4% at current exchange rates versus 31st December 2016. 10.9 was the improvement cost of exchange rates, EBITDA 87.5 million plus 11.8%. Net profit 42.1 million plus 13.4%. excluding the patent box benefits. And I'd like to make a digression or an addition here. You see, from the aesthetic point of view, we prefer to highlight the 13.4% adjusted profit and not the 41.4%, including the patent box benefits, because, you see, frankly speaking, it would not look good to show the great leap of profit in a year, whereas we have always been supporting, chasing a fair profit and moderate growth. So this is what I wanted to say about profit. Then we enjoyed significant growth in revenues in all geographies. Italian market +11.2%, Europe +10.6%, North America 6.6%, but it's because of the Forex situation. Greater China 36.2%, rest of the world 5.2%. Then sales improved in all distribution channels. Retail monobrand 19.6%+, wholesale monobrand +1.6%, wholesale multibrand +6.2%. And then there was an important reduction of the net financial position, which dropped to 15.7 million euro as of 31st of December, vis-à-vis 51 million last year. Investment plan CapEx is 35.7 million euros, mainly commercial in nature, always focusing on safeguarding our brand, both in the brick-and-mortar channel and the online one, but we will be dwelling on this later on. And then the BOD will propose the distribution of 0.27 euros dividend per share, equal to 35.9% payout ratio. So this way, I think that I have given you an overview, and I'd like to close by saying that 2017 has ended, reporting once again particularly pleasing results and showing a growth path that is consistent, moderate, but sound year in, year out. This growth is pursued, hopefully, both in the physical and online world in a balanced manner, and it has resulted in our business crossing the 500 million revenues threshold, an achievement that makes us very, very satisfied. Then another important point, the good performance in our spring-summer sales, the excellent sales campaign in fall-winter 2018, which is now coming to an end, and the very special feedback from the national and international trade press seem to indicate that yet another positive year lies ahead, featuring double-digit growth in terms of both revenues and profits. Our appealing development projects and the great brand protection effort online are the pillars of our daily work, a work that fascinates us and enables us to enthusiastically pursue and seek a good life. So I'd now like to give the floor to Moreno Ciarapica, who will be giving you more colors, and then I'll resume the floor later on. Thank you. Thank you, Brunello, and good evening, everybody. Following the release of preliminary data, preliminary revenues on January the 8th, that were confirmed by the final data, I would now move to slide 11 of our presentation. And I would start from the improvement of EBITDA margins that went from 17.1% last year, an adjusted figure, excluding the non-recurring personnel cost amounting to 1.5 million, and then moved to the current 17.3% with an increase of 20 basis points approximately. We consider this 11.8% growth of EBITDA a healthy one, and this growth goes together with the 10.4% increase of net revenues, in line with the indication that we have always communicated to the financial market. The increase of EBITDA margin is strictly linked to the first margin increase that went from 65 to 65.2%. Against an incidence of operating costs on sales stable, 48.8%. Amortization amounted to 22.7 million, increasing by 13.3% versus 20 million 2016, with an incidence and impact that's moved from 4.4 to 4.5%. We expect a slight increase of incidence at the end of the year 2018 due to higher amortization and depreciation that will be in the financial statement due to the investments in 2018. The impact of net financial expenses moved from 0.7% to 1%, considering a significant reduction of the average net financial position, and this increase is to do with Forex development. We would like to remind you that this increase is mainly due to the accounting of Forex hedging, and in particular the accounting of the unrealized losses on Forex having to do with intercompany funding in foreign currency that are temporary in nature because they are subject to their valuation based on the exchange rate. As to 2018, considering the forecast of all financial institutions whereby the volatility of Forex could not be as strong as in 2017, where it's reached its peak, we expect a reduction of net financial charges. Let's now take a look at 2017 net profit, excluding, as Brello was saying, the benefits of the ensuing from the patent box, linked to the agreement with the Italian Inland Revenues Authority for 2015-2019. Benefits for 2015-2017 have amounted to €10.4 million, €4 million of which having to do with the last year. 2017 net profit, excluding the tax benefits of the patent box, amounted to €42.1 million, as shown in the box bottom right on slide 2011. And it displays 13.4% growth vis-à-vis the net profit of €37.1 million in 2016, with an ordinary tax rate that dropped from 30.5% to 29.2%. We consider this tax rate as ordinary and foreseeable also for the next few years, net of the future benefits relating to the patent box. And for 2018 and 2019, they will be accounted for in the relevant year, and they will only be quantified when drafting the relevant financial statements. We could imagine more or less the same amount as in 2017. Now, moving on to slide 12, we take a look at the first margin operating costs, with the increase of the first margin driven by the business evolution, the like-for-like sales results that were very positive, and the channel mix. The weight of retail revenues went from 49.6% to 53.7%. 2017 like-for-like amounted to 4.4%, whereas the like-for-like of the first half of the year, the early months of the year between the January the 1st and February the 25th amounted to 4% performance, in line with the very same level between 3 and 5% that we have always considered as sustainable and appealing. The like-for-like developments, as already anticipated, they fully represent the performance of our collections on a half-year basis, and this is the reason why, starting from this year, we will share the like-for-like performance as of June the 30th and December the 31st. The operating cost increase was in line with the business performance, and the incidence is stable at 48%. The incidence of personnel costs went from 17.5% to 17.6% upwards, and the reason was the arrival in the 2017 consolidation perimeter, the arrival of the people staffing the new direct managed spaces for conversions and for net opening, and the 5 shop-in-shop in the luxury department stores of Holt Renfrew in Canada, which were previously managed with a wholesale formula. Rents, the incidence of rents went down from 12 to 11.7%, and the increase by 4 million from 55 to 59 million has to do with the development of the retail network, including the aforementioned 4 opening and 4 conversions, besides some extension of shops. Investments in communication went up from 24.7 to €28.7 million, with an incidence on sales moving from 5.4% to 5.7%, with acceleration in the second half of the year driven by the investments on the digital channel. Other general operating costs went up from 59.8 to 65.7 million, and their incidence on sales stayed unchanged at 13.0%. The increase has to do to higher IT and digital costs, development and maintenance, on top of the cost needed to insource the online boutique. Now, moving on to slide number 14, we and the income statement, balance sheet, we take a look of the net working capital. and its incidence on sales from 28% to 25.2%. The management of inventory was very positive, reducing from 154 to 152.6 million, with an incidence on sales dropping from 33.9 to 30.3%, a level that we think might represent a healthy balance in our inventory management, also considering the limited number of new direct boutiques to be opened. In the trade receivables went down from 45.2 million to, from 47 to 45, following the healthy and positive management of cash-ins and the fact that the online boutique, the four boutiques in Moscow and the five shopping shop department stores were actually converted to direct management stores. Trade payables, a slight increase there, 65.3 million against 63 million. And the other assets and liabilities decreased from minus 9.4 million to minus 5.6 million, which was mainly to do with the fair value evaluation on the derivatives, the hedging derivatives. Investments on slide 15 amounted to 35.7 million in 2017. And as usual, their aim is to safeguard the exclusivity and the prestige of the brand, both in the physical and online channel, as well as investing in the IT platforms that we keep to maintain cutting edge. In the following years, we will also maintain quite a high level of ordinary investments, which should be around 120-130 million in the three-year period 2018-2020. Debt reduction performed in an excellent manner. Debt went down from 51 to 15 million, driven by the cash generation of operations and also the positive contribution of the trade working capital. Cash generation, therefore, absorbed investments fully, 35.7 million, and the payment of 10.9 million euro of dividends for the 2016, that represented a payout ratio of 29.9%. In 2018, we will be still pursue cash generation in order to absorb investment that we expect and also to absorb the increase of dividends and payouts that went up from 29.9 to 35.9, with a net financial position which at 31st December 2018 could amount to zero, and to then improve the following year. And then finally on slide 17 shows how we were able to reduce debt by, however, maintaining over the years an important level of capex and also progressively and gradually increasing the payout. And one last thing about the hedging, forex hedging, and the impact of foreign currency. So before giving the floor to Bonello, I'd like to devote some time to the very careful forex risk hedging that we carry out, so that in 2018 we will preserve our margins also despite the volatility in forex. Our hedging policy, as you know, in the currency has as a target to neutralize the value, absolute value EBITDA from the impact of forex fluctuation. So when the price list of collections are defined, estimated revenues are always hedged, and then a part of the revenues, which amounts more or less to the cost in foreignancy, these are not this part is not hedged, and it is subject to forex fluctuation. But the currency and forex impact is mainly linked to this bank chunk of the revenues. We want to maintain the absolute value of EBITDA unchanged. This is our aim, because the impact of forex on revenues is offset by the opposite impact that the currencies have on costs. Our hedging policy, although starting from January, euro has appreciated vis-à-vis the dollar, and today it amounts to 1.24. This policy enables us to maintain EBITDA 2018 expectations unchanged. As far as the expected revenues are concerned, given the further impact of forex that we have seen in the first months of the year, it is reasonable to expects slightly lower revenues at current exchange rates vis-à-vis what we thought in January. But with a subsequent increase in margins, if the EBITDA stays the same in absolute values, which is slightly higher than 10-20 basis points improvement on an annual basis that we usually consider as ordinary. This is the end of my contribution. Thank you very much, and I give the floor back to Brunello. Thank you. So I'd like to talk about a pretty clear-cut visibility on 2018, as promised. So we have to say that things are going really, really well, and hopefully God keeps helping us. And this is always very useful to have that kind of help too. Summer collection in stores are performing very, very well. The taste is being appreciated. That's what really counts. A few days ago, we finished with the sales of a winter collection, and I have to say that it all went perfectly well. The buyers provided an excellent feedback, both in Florence for the men's collection in mid-January and also in Milan last week during the Women's Fashion Week. So all the orders for the fall winter collection have already been harvested. As you know, done well, we are really keen on the feedback from the press too, because sometimes their feedback does not match that of buyers. But really, the press really makes you understand whether your collection is modern, contemporary, young, youthful, and exclusive. We feel that it is now a time that our brand is enjoying this kind of feedback. It is pure, made in Italy, a product with a very high level of craftsmanship. Especially in women, there are some couture-oriented touches. For men, I would say it is a very Italian taste, but at the same time it's very young, also in suits, contemporary, fresh, refined. Of course, we should not be the ones to tell you because it's not nice to boast about this, but this is what we believe. So we're very, very happy. And another important point, there is always the search for exclusive, well-made items. When buyers come to our showroom, this is the first thing they ask from us before looking at the price list, before looking at the quality. So taste and then price last. Visual merchandising plays a very important role, and we have always been keen supporters of this. We think there is also a lot of attention on the way in which you actually make your products, how your products are made, where they're made, whether you have harmed or hurt or damaged the wildlife and the environment along the process. And this is very strongly perceived, especially by young people. There's no doubt. I'm always very firmly convinced that our team must be young. And this is true for all industry and sectors, and politics included. I don't want to hide that the elections in Italy over the last couple of days clearly show that there's a need for a contemporary team in politics too. In our company, the average age is lower than 37 years, 43 for the management, but without me, there would be a very sharp drop. So what we would like to say, seriously, is that we can project for 2018 a healthy double-digit growth, both in terms of revenues and EBITDA. And EBITDA should be slightly more than proportional. In 2018, we will invest more or less 45 million. And as usual, if some special opportunity arises, we will try and seize it. So if we bump into a store in a special location, we will be seizing this opportunity. At the end of the year, net financial position should be close to zero. And we're particularly pleased with this. But as usual, we keep saying that the problem, you see, with this if any company is not debt, the level of debt, but to be able to design a modern product. In the future, around 40%, dividend should amount to 40% of our profits. We should have equity, net equity, slightly more than half revenues. So we are confident for that. As for Forex hedging, as Marino was saying, we have done this from the very beginning. Our company started its business in Germany, and we were basically cashing in Deutsche Marks. So the advantage was that of getting money, being financed in Deutsche Mark with the Italian rate of 22-23. But despite that, we were fixing our exchange rates, because we have always wanted to have an industrial pure profit, because this is our business. For the 2019-2020 two-year period, we envisage a healthy growth in line with the past years, with EBITDA slightly higher than the growth of revenues. We would like to invest around 80-90 million, 120-130 over the three-year period. And the net financial position should be positive and gradually improving. So to sum up, before moving on to the fascinating topic of the web, I'd like to say that true investments lie in seeking contemporary products on a daily basis. You see, we exchange ideas on taste, changes. We try and we strive to be fascinating, both in the way we behave, the way we communicate, and how we also behave in stores. We mentioned this at length in the November call. We try also to embrace change without any fear, accepting the fact that each and every one of us wants to feel special. And I believe in this very much. And we know that every day there will always be somebody posting a picture of you or even a selfie. So you can't possibly look the same today and tomorrow. But let's now talk about this fascinating theme of the web, the online world. We are very, very satisfied and pleased with how things are going. And also we're happy with the way in which we have actually tackled and faced this challenge. On the one hand, communication is paramount. And when you actually log into our website, you see the institutional part with our philosophy. Product is also very important. And the way you present it, visual merchandising is essential. It's important for sales. And we are sure that online sales will improve. We don't know to what extent, but what we did want to do is to set up facilities that could possibly cater for large growth. So the real estate is there, facilities are there. This has always been a sort of obsession of mine. We try to update our technology, to use ultra-sophisticated technologies. The investment is important, but I think that this world is changing so fast that we need to be up to date, and I like this very much. However, we keep implementing our grand policy of brand safeguard, and we discuss this topic with our partners and stakeholders, because we are always fully convinced that the web, the online world, might massify one's image. And this applies to everybody. As usual, I devote 70% of my time to products, and it has always been the case from the very beginning. Of course, at the beginning, we were focusing on raising the capital, and new banks have been great with us. But if now you see 70%, I devote 70% of my time to product, and the half of the remaining 30% is devoted to how the web is changing and how we can be recognizable, special, and unique. You see, this online world is complicated, and well, to me it is also fascinating, and it is evolving very rapidly. A few days ago, we turned 40. And today, I'd like our company, and please listen carefully, because this is the dream of my life that I'm about to communicate it to you. What I'd like to envisage for the future is for this company to stay headquartered in Solomeo for a few centuries through my daughters, granddaughters, grandchildren, maintaining the ownership, which does not mean that they need to manage and rule the company, because I've always maintained that you do not inherit the way and the ability to manage a company. You inherit the ownership of a company. So the works to restore the parks are drawing to a close. We are also completing the works of the peripheries. I have always loved this art of preserving, and I've spent so much money. I've spent a fortune, and my father says, "You must be crazy." And I'm so lucky to have my father still with me, and he's 96. It's always a pleasure to speak to him. Today, I think that because we want to respect all those who invest in our company, we think it is not fair that the listed company pays for this restoration. It is the private foundation that should pay for it, because if I was an investor from San Francisco or somewhere else, I would say, "Why doesn't your business help me support something or restore something in San Francisco? Why should I spend my money in Solomeo?" Whereas all this restoration work is entrusted to the family foundation, hopefully for a few centuries. And jokefully, but not so much, I say, "But be careful, because after I'm dead, I'm going to come back and take a look at how you are looking after all these assets. And if you don't do things properly, I will be haunting your nights." But you see, we need to envisage our life over the next 100, 200 years. So to come into a close before questions, because Q&A, we are very happy with business. We are full of gratitude towards mankind and towards you who have shared and agreed with our corporate culture. You have paid tribute to us, and maybe you have also paid tribute to my wonderful country, which is Italy. So endless thanks for everything. If you need us, just give us a call. Do not hesitate and come and visit. And now let's open the floor for questions. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Chorus call operator speaking. Now we will start the Q&A session. Whoever wants to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your keypad. To exit the booking list, press star followed by two. Please ask your question using the receiver. Whoever wants to ask a question, please press star followed by one now. The first question from the Italian channel by Francesca Di Pasquantonio, Deutsche Bank. Hello, Brunello, and good evening. Hi, Francesca. How are you? Yes, numbers speak for themselves. I bet that you are satisfied. I wanted to ask a couple of questions on your presence on the web, your online presence, the way in which you're managing your brand, safeguarding, and how you relate to the e-tailers world, platforms like Farfetch, Matches, Net-a-Porter. What kinds of agreements or what kind of constraints do you pose on them, and how can you maintain consistency with your online presence? Second question, what about the social media and your engagement there? Are you following this communication channel too? Because it is ever increasingly important. Yes, thank you for your interesting questions, Francesca. Obviously, I'm very, very pleased with your words, your kind words. I have to say that I think that, as I said before, the online world massifies your product. So we enjoy a great relationship with Net-a-Porter, Mr. Porter, and the small but not so small Mytheresa in the German market, and I think they are one of three of the best multi-brand stores in the world. Multi-brand means they buy the goods together. We decide how to display it and what to publish. It is a good relationship. This is the kind of care and attention that we devote. So for the time being, we have our products displayed in these three online multi-brand stores. Well, we are online, definitely, but we want to always strike a balance and find a kind of fair amount of online presence. I think that many of us are overwhelmed with documents and emails and stuff and communication, so we try not to do the same, because if we hassle you, you will stop buying the brand. And this is the kind of grace that we apply when we in our boutiques and also the online.com store that is based in Solomeo. We kind of pursue this human privacy. That's what we are looking for, the respect for the human sphere, the private sphere. I think that we really are pushed and hassled too much online. So, and as far as Farfetch is concerned, I know that it's not nice to express ill judgments, but I think that it is just, and it's a pure marketplace. So I insist on this once again, operate in luxury. Items are very, very expensive. So I think there should be a very clear-cut distinction between luxury and this so-called democratic luxury, ever-accessible luxury. And you see, this word didn't even exist up to 20 years ago. So we keep pursuing our project that envisages absolute made-in-Italy luxury, extreme craftsmanship, costly, a bit expensive. But I think that Europe has a great chance here, not just for ready-to-wear, but also for furniture, for example. A few days ago, I was wearing a particularly well-known watch, not too expensive. But then once I suddenly received a group mail that was not tailor-made for me, and what I did was I changed my wristwatch. What I mean by that is that I want to keep supporting the exclusivity of products. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense for us to manufacture in Italy with all the level of detail that we apply. I don't know whether I was clear in what I said. As far as social media are concerned, we try and use them in a normal manner. We post something every 10 or 12 days, a special picture, for example, during Pitti or during the Fashion Week. But I think we have a fair balance and grace there, because I might say that the true luxury of the future will be to lead a life that is concealed from our travel mate, that is the smartphone. And that's the kind of products I'm looking for. It's not easy to express one's view, to voice an opinion on these topics, but this is the path that we want to keep pursuing, enlightening and clear as usual. I don't know whether it was very clear. Well, it was for me. But you see, every day we hold meetings on this. We asked all the minds of our company, we asked everyone to behave well on the web, because everything that we built in 40 years is at stake there. Can I have a follow-up question? Can I ask a follow-up question on store openings that you have in store for the next 2, 3 years? What kind of geographies are you considering or favoring for your opening plan? Well, the idea is still to open 3 to 5 stores a year, then expanding an existing one in main cities. For example, this year we'll be opening Dubai, Las Vegas, China Mall in Beijing, and Monte Carlo, a good repositioning will take place there. Well, the price is not very convenient there, but that's the way it is. And Moreno was mentioning rents before, that they dropped by 0.3%. Well, I think that in main cities, these are the rents to be accounted for in the future too. So we would like to open 3, 5, 4 stores in over the coming years, beautiful locations. We will try and refurbish the existing ones too, to keep them modern and contemporary, and also looking for special staff, because I think that we are all overwhelmed with newsletters and emails. We don't want that. Thank you very much. The next question is from Flavio Cereda, Jefferies.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening, Brunello.
Buonasera. Good evening, Flavio.
Francesca touched upon two key topics. I'd like to ask the following: openings, considering the CapEx for the next 3 years, where will the CapEx focus, considering that the openings are not that many? Secondly, maybe this is a question for Moreno, so we make sure that he's still there.
No, we are all here. There's eight of us.
When we take a look at the net working capital, and which had been considering a weakness of yours, is now becoming a strength. The numbers that we are seeing now for 2017, is this the baseline scenario for the next few years? Meaning, all the actions that you had to take, have they been completed?
So I'll start by answering. Yes, the next 2, 3 years CapEx are, commercial CapEx, because we want our showroom to be beautiful and modern, because there are no investments in the headquarters or real estate. Whereas in 2020, we might have to think about the next 5 years and to expand our headquarters and facilities. You see, for example, in Monte Carlo, we are just expanding the store, but the locations are very expensive. That's why you need all this CapEx. But what do we do about this? Well, today, we have 4 billion human beings, and from the east to Malaysia. So, and that accounts for 12% of our revenues, and we think that on the Far East, there will be quite a good growth there. Whereas 85% of our business now is generated in beautiful America and Europe, and we're very pleased with that. But the way the product is perceived in Europe and America is very important, because all these faraway countries, they want to take a look at how the product is appreciated in Italy. I'd like to add, technically speaking, Flavio, the CFO speaking, I'd like to add the following. Of course, we must and need to renovate, constantly renovate and refurbish our locations. We have 94 of them, and franchised stores too, and our store-in-store department. So we have to keep refurbishing them on a constant basis. Then we have some repositioning, relocation, and expansion. And of course, we prefer the latter to the new openings, because, as we said it many, many times, they would dilute our presence. So we are, over the next 3 years, we want to focus on relocation, high quality relocation, and expansion of existing footage. Talking about inventory, we have reached a standard level of critical mass of our management, so we can definitely optimize what in the past prompted in line with growth, in line with the business growth. Today, we have a significant critical mass whereby in the next 3 years, we will be saving. And we are very pleased with these developments, because that benefits the net financial position too. Well, Flavio, for the thousandth time, I'd like to go back to this. a showroom where you present your collection, but you fail to paint it or to refurbish it, well, your collection does not look as contemporary as if you had refurbished it. So you change the tables, you change the fittings and the furnishing. I always dread that your product ages in an old place. When we start designing the collection, every 6 months we change something, a picture, an armchair, a table, just tiny tweaks and changes. You see, today, the research team for the men's collection came back, and they were very, very enthusiastic. They are designing new things. They're prepared, putting together some pictures and images. But it is a costly activity, that traveling for the research team. But that's the modernity we were talking about before. Thank you. Goodbye.
Thank you, Flavio.
And congratulations on your Milan, Flavio. Tonight we have the Juventus. I'm not sure that the foreign listeners are interested in this, but I wanted to say it. Next question from Paola Carboni, Equita SIM.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, Brunello. Good evening, Paola. I have a question on the competitive scenario, although I think you are beyond any competition, if I dare say. But I would say that other brands have attempted something following your IPO, for example, Franconeri or Fabiana Filippi, and I was a bit concerned at the beginning. But I would say that the gap has widened even more over the last few years, not just in terms of volumes, but brand perception to wealth of offering collections and style proposition. I wanted your comment on this, or whether I'm wrong and there are other brands that you are consider your competitors that you monitor. Well, somebody was saying to me tonight, are you worried when you are being copied? Well, honestly speaking, if you're not being copied, it means that the brand is not successful. And you see, it's always been the case since when I was young, only special brands are copied and counterfeited. What I say is that we might help each other out. Of course, we have made a precise choice of manufacturing in Italy with a specific rate of craftsmanship, and I'm not talking about taste here, and we wanted to be positioned in a specific, we wanted to have a specific positioning. But it's not because we are snobs that we think so. But see, I always focus on very high quality and modernity of the brand, because there is not that much supply of day wear in the world, and there is a demand for that. But you see, women need to change all their wardrobe every 6 months, and men too. Do you remember when at the beginning we were talking about these evergreen items, and we were saying that we have no evergreen? But you see, because, for example, the men's jacket, the length might differ by a couple of centimeters, you might think it's the same, but it's not, because if you wear last year's jacket, and it looks old, older than this year's, although the tweaks are very, very small. But we want to keep pursuing very high quality. If you ask me what I'm worried on a daily basis, is the rate of modernity of my product. So since we have already discussed about strategy, I have two financial questions. Talking about inventory and its performance in 2017, the objective of a net financial position close to break-even in 2018 implies that the net working capital generates some further cash in 2018, so we can expect a further improvement of its incidence on sales, or am I wrong in my reasoning?
No, Paola, that's precisely the case. We expect a further, yet small benefit also from the net working capital, in addition to that, coming from the income statement. And I want to add something more in a jokeful manner, Paola. We should not worry about cash too much. We should worry about investing, investing and investing so that your brand keeps young and innovative. Because sometimes when you have high debt, of course, you are scared by it, but in this kind of under these circumstances, we should not worry about the 3-5 million. We should worry about investing in a modern brand. I don't want to be a snob here, but when we discussed this topic with you many, many times, we spoke about cash many, many times. But when your a company it has too much cash, maybe is not a healthy one. Andrea Guerra used to say, even in best times, companies should invest to stay contemporary. And this, since then, I've always shared this view. I think we need to be modern, therefore we need to invest. One last point. As far as hedging is concerned, if I understood properly, we should expect a 2018 margin that improves beyond the usual 10, 20 basis points. I don't know whether we can we say whether in 2019 this effect is absorbed, and in 2019, should we expect a flat margin, or what will the development be? First of all, the additional benefit vis-à-vis the 10, 15 ordinary basis points can be an additional 10, 15 as an effect of Forex, whereby our revenues at current exchange rate will be lower than at constant exchange rates. And as I tried to explain before, what we expect is for the absolute value expected at constant exchange rate of revenues. We think that we can manage to do that because all the hedging has been done, as I said before. But a slightly smaller chunk of current exchange rates rather than constant exchange of revenues, maintaining the EBITDA stable vis-à-vis our expectation, that's where the 10, 15 additional basis points come from. It is then clear that once revenues go back to normal, so when a constant and exchange rates are the same as current exchange rate, this phenomenon might dwindle. But we think that there will always be 10, 15 points in benefit because of what I said before. Brunello speaking. So under normal circumstances, we believe that we might have some benefit in terms of income profit. Yes, thank you very much. Next question from the English call, Berenberg, Mariana Hall.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Mariana Horn from Berenberg. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two, please. The first one is on like-for-like performance and the expectations for the rest of the year. So you had a nice 4% performance so far in 2018, and I was wondering whether we could assume this for the remaining of the year, and if you could share the performance of like-for-like region to region. And the second one is on different consumer clusters and different trends that you might have seen. So can you discuss how the domestic versus the touristic clusters have performed, especially in Q4 and maybe in the past weeks, as you disclosed like-for-like? And also if you could share or if you have seen any specific trend that you think may have stood out and you found interesting. Thank you.
So let's start from customers. Well, it's now been a year or so that we are now once again talking about local customers. And this is very, very interesting, especially for Europe. So customers shop from in the local stores, and they are local customers. As far as the like-for-like is concerned, well, the important thing is to express a judgment at the end of the half year, because that's the right way to find out whether your collection has performed well or not. We have always maintained that a year like-for-like of 4%, we have always maintained that this is an interesting and appealing figure. It would be interesting to maintain it over the years, because if you have too high of a like-for-like, it could be a bit dangerous for the years to come. So it is true that our product, you see, since it is a no-logo product, is not typically seasoned. So we would be pleased with that. I have to say that this like-for-like is somehow increasing and improving everywhere. And I think that there is a positive development there. Better for women, a bit tougher for men, men's collection, because, you see, men need to be shown something very, very interesting in order to make the purchase. You see, women tend to change their wardrobe every 6 months, whereas men tend to add to existing items. We are experiencing a good time for menswear because we are the reference point for men's. We are a chic, contemporary kind of menswear, definitely not super fashion. So, generally speaking, there's a lot of positivity. This should be said. We should make a great distinction between recognizable luxury and expensive products on the one hand, and on the other hand, there will be products increasingly industrially made and with a lower price. That's for sure. And this is what we are trying to do. When we say that we want to protect our brand online, we want to pursue the first path, because this is the great thing for us. But in general, I would say, you see, the first question by our buyers is, we want an exclusive product, which means that probably there is too much of a wider distribution. And as far as the like region by region like-for-like question is concerned, in the first 2 months, this 4% is pretty homogeneous across the regions. There are no disalignments between or mismatches between one region and the other. Yes, I could confirm that.
Thank you.
Are you happy with the answer, Marianne?
Yes, thank you very much.
If you want to ask a question, press star followed by one on your phone. Mr. Cuccinelli, there are no further questions for the time being. Well, thank you very much for all the esteem that you have displayed. We are particularly confident. Tomorrow, the new men's collection, we will start designing the new men's collection. But generally speaking, we would like to say that there's a good atmosphere in our company, and we would like to once again say that we really work with Serenity. Thank you very much for everything.